Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ proclaims a powerful word to those gathered around him during the Sermon on the Mount. Proclaims in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And indeed, this word of our Lord still rings true for us today, as the word of God never changes. It endures forever. And so it is then, as we hear this instruction that comes from Christ himself for all people of all times, it should give us pause and raise an important question in our minds, which is, what do I hunger for? What do I hunger for? Now, granted, that could be a lot of things. For as we know, the body has needs. This much we know. There's that old saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And this is most certainly true, even if it is not a direct quote from Scripture. But this is kind of a reality for us. We're human beings. We're flesh and blood. And so it is, though, that when our body gets hungry, it lets us know. It's very hard to ignore the pangs and grumbles of an empty gut. And lo and behold, even when it isn't empty, all it takes is that delicious burger commercial. I realize we're an hour out from lunch. But you see it sizzling on the hot grill and, you know, the delicious orange substance we call cheese in America. And all those great toppings and the hot fries. You may have a full stomach. You may not have even been hungry, but you see that commercial and all of a sudden it's like, I want that. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Give me some of this food. Amen. Because we are flesh and blood, we have bodily sensations. Things that let us know that we're hungry, that we're thirsty, that we're cold or hot or in pain. We have sensations. Of course, hunger and thirst are our primary concerns. For if we do not eat food or we do not drink water, our lives are rather short. But we also know that hunger is more than just our gut. There are other urges that are comparable to hunger. We even use hunger as an expression, you know, an athlete who's training, who's trying to win a championship. He's hungry for competition. He's hungry to win. And that old sinful Adam that dwells in each and every one of us that we've inherited from our first parents is hungry. There are a lot of things that the flesh hungers for. Lust. Greed. Even power and authority. In the light of the Ten Commandments, we know our weaknesses. We know our sin. We are able to see the hunger of the old Adam within us. A hunger that is never really, truly satisfied. But nonetheless, whether it be the old Adam or the world or even that foe, the devil, temptations abound. And in those temptations, our stomach growls, demanding to be fed, demanding to have its thirst quenched. Such is our condition. Even as Christians, a new creation, we wrestle with this. So we ask. The Word of God asks us, say to yourself, what do I hunger for? Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness, or do I hunger and thirst for sin and wickedness? And so it is that there is this war that wages within us. Now, of course, our Lord is very much concerned with us hungering and thirsting for righteousness because He is our righteousness. His desire is that we would hunger and thirst for Him. For from Him comes living water. He is, as He says, the bread of life that comes down from heaven. He is the Word made flesh who feeds us even with His body and blood. And the Holy Sacrament, with the bread and wine, with the forgiveness of sins. And therein He feeds and refreshes and washes us. Even with the waters of baptism, with His righteousness. It is these things, Word and Sacrament, that are the bread of life that we are to hunger and thirst for. Because it is by these means of grace that the believer receives the righteousness of Christ by faith. For all of these point us and direct us to Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior. By faith in Him, through His blood poured out, we have the forgiveness of sins. It is this eating and drinking that gives you life. It is this eating and drinking that we most should be mindful of. But yes, there are temptations. Even the Lord Himself was tempted by hunger. So we recall in Matthew 4, the temptation in the wilderness. And the tempter came and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Our Lord answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And of course, the Lord is quoting His own word from Deuteronomy 8. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So yes, what do you hunger for? What do you hunger for? What is truly needful? Consider our gospel lesson for this morning. And we have to track back a couple Sundays here to kind of get a feel for the whole situation. There's a multitude that has been fed. Thousands of people with just a few fish and a few loaves. A miracle has been done. And after this event, the disciples get in the boat and they're going across the sea and there's a storm and waves crashing against them. The Lord walks on water. He calms the storm. And He safely guides His disciples to the other side. And here is where we find ourselves today. The people are looking for Jesus. They're looking for the disciples. Where are they? And they finally get the hint, hey, that boat is gone. Let's get to the other side. And they get over there. They're hungry. But what are they hungry for? And the Lord, He keys us in on this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. They're here for a free meal. And you can't really blame them. You just follow this guy around and he'll give you bread and fish and your hunger will be satisfied. A hungry man will endure a whole lot of teaching, even really boring teaching, for a free meal. And I know this because I was at the pastor's district convention recently, the past month. It's true. Place to sleep, a couple meals. Yeah, I'll go and put up with that. Amen. And so what we see here is they're feeding their gut. Their concern is their gut, their stomach. And so they enter into this conversation with Jesus. And he tells them, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. I know why you're here. You want a meal. But that meal is going to perish. It's temporary. It comes and goes. You should be hungry for the true bread of life. The one that comes from the Son of Man. The Messiah. The one that God is sending to you. And the reaction is quite humorous, because they're still not getting it. What work do we have to do to get a meal? And Jesus says, the work of righteousness is to believe in the one the Father has sent. And the response is, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Now, they were just on the other side and saw Jesus feed them with just a couple fish and loaves. They've seen a miracle. And you got to prove it again. What they're saying is, feed us again and we'll see what we think. Do a miracle. Give us some more of that bread and then we'll believe you. We'll listen about this soul bread stuff that you're talking about. It takes time. It takes teaching and patience. Because their stomach keeps getting in the way. And this is true for us. Our stomach gets in the way too. Like I was saying, our nature, we're sinners. We are driven by the cares of this world. And the Lord knows that our bellies growl. But as we see in his word, step by step, knowing that they're hungry, but he keeps redirecting their attention to him. Keep saying, focus in on what you really need right now. Because a meal today, yes, it'll sustain your body, but it's not going to do much for your soul. You need a better bread. And we need to hear that too. Just as they did. We need to be redirected. Daily, if not hourly, redirected to Christ. His work and his labor is to bring us into him, to have clarity of what is really the most important thing, that he's the bread of life sent from heaven, that he is the Christ, that he is the one who gives eternal life through the forgiveness of sins. That we have a spiritual hunger that doesn't cause as much of a racket as our fleshly hunger does, but nonetheless needs to be satisfied and only can be satisfied through him. Our spiritual hunger is ever in need of our Lord's mercy, so that we would be strengthened against temptation, that we would have confidence against doubt and courage against despair, that we would be given true spiritual nourishment. So that we would have clarity when we ask that question, what do I hunger for? What do I hunger for? And that's not to say that we shouldn't ask God for bread. Our Lord teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. Now, of course, there's a sacramental understanding to that petition. Because above just daily bread of the body, we need the true bread. Even the bread of the Eucharist, which is the body of Christ, with his blood in the wine. But nonetheless, the Lord delights in giving his children good things. We don't want to downplay the delight of our Lord in providing for his children, especially their bodily needs. That's why Luther breaks down the petition in the Catechism, where daily bread is literally everything we need for this life. From the shoes on our feet to the roof over our heads to the family and friends that we have and the clothing we wear. This is all daily bread, and indeed, we are to come to the Lord and ask him for all good and needful things. But we must be mindful of that sinful nature, which really likes to forget. It makes demands of the body, but often forgets the soul. Sinful nature loves to turn things upside down. So it is that as Christians, we need the Word of God to remind us of this great truth. But yes, we need daily bread. We need earthly bread. But above this, and more importantly, we need the bread of life. The bread of life that even forgives our grumbling tummies. It's for this reason that our divine service always begins with confession and absolution. It redirects us. It redirects us and reminds us of our spiritual hunger that our Lord comes among us and gathers us around him to fulfill. So that we would hunger no more. That through hearing his words of forgiveness, that we are prepared then to look to the cross, knowing that there upon the cross, the Son of Man, the bread of life, one who is sent from heaven, bore our sins, bore our guilt, our iniquity, and shed his holy and precious blood as a perfect sacrifice, forgiving our sins and placing his righteousness and perfection upon us. That in this we would have that boldness and confidence and trust in him, knowing that he has done everything for our sake, that our lives, though perishing here, will be raised up anew as he is risen. That we will have everlasting life in him and with him forevermore. That we will be daily fed by him both here and in eternity with the most needful thing of all, which is he himself for you. For he is your Savior. He is your Lord. Jesus Christ is your true life. Indeed, by grace you have been saved through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.